Thank you. I have nothing to disclose, and I should also mention that the thoughts expressed in this presentation are not necessarily endorsed by the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention.
Do you want me to do your thoughts?
So far, the mouse is working. So health disparities, and I think this crowd gets it at this point, are differences in the overall rate of disease incidence, prevalence, morbidity, mortality, or survival rates. And these differences are usually impacted by race, gender, ethnicity, age, geolocation, disability, among others. Sickle cell disease is both useful and problematic to discuss as a health disparity. It's useful because it serves as a prime example on how people are differentially invested in and how they are treated. But it's also problematic because sickle cell disease has a biological basis for disparity. Though it's often associated with race, it's more biological, which we'll discuss. So sickle cell disease, again, is a biologically based disease that is not race limited, yet is associated with differential investment and treatment, which likely reveals racism as a root cause for disparity. And we'll look at this a little bit further using Kamara Jones' framework for confronting institutionalized racism. What is sickle cell disease? Sickle cell disease is a genetic disorder that's caused by abnormal hemoglobin that damages and deforms red blood cells. In a state of low oxygen, sickle hemoglobin, hemoglobin S, deforms red blood cells, causing blockage in the small vessels. And you'll see what the normal red blood cell looks like, donut-like, and then what the sickle cell looks like. And these, the sickling process causes major complications. So what do we know? We know primarily who it affects. In the United States, we think that it affects approximately 100,000 people, although there is no national data system to really get at the prevalence yet. Over 3 million Americans have sickle cell trait. 1 out of 12 blacks, 1 out of 1,400, 1 out of 36,000 Hispanics, and that range is large, I know, and it's because it depends on which Hispanic you're looking at. If you're looking at Mexicans versus Puerto Ricans, that number can vary. 1 out of around 58,000 Caucasians. So major complications include anemia, pain, infection, stroke, delayed puberty, delayed growth, organ failure, and primarily what is impacted here is a very high rate in mortality. Also, in terms of treatment, there is known medication, blood transfusions, bone marrow transplants, and anti-sickling agents. Just to go back to the trait, the trait numbers, this 3 million Americans number is based off of census data, but likely is an underestimate given the amount of immigrants that come into our country. So some of the public health challenges, and there are many when dealing with sickle cell disease. The public health burden is high, the lack of understanding is high, and the lack of resources is significant. The total healthcare cost associated with sickle cell disease is approximately $1.1 billion annually. Again, the prevalence is unknown. We have no idea how many people living in the United States have sickle cell disease. Lack of access to specialty care, lack of diffusion of medical knowledge, lack of coordination of care and equity in the quality of clinical care, and lack of community awareness. So sickle cell disease as a racialized disease, the etiology or the causation is historically associated with the black race. Well, this is problematic. And as you can tell by the maps here, the hemoglobin S correlates with the geographic distribution of malaria and not with race. There are notions of invisibility when we attach sickle cell to race instead of the causation, which is malaria. And one of these issues is the beginning of the notions of invisibility. So we've got the invisibility in these populations that sickle cell also is impacted in Hispanics, Northwestern Indians, Mediterranean whites, and Saudi Arabians. And when we're thinking about the stigma that's created, there's stigma within the African American population for having the disease, but there's also stigma that's existing in these populations when they're associated with having a black disease. So, brief history of inaction, and this is very brief. In 1910, it was the first report of sickle cell disease in Western medicine, and that's something to think about now that we're in 2010, 100 years later, where are we with the disease? In the 1920s, medical journals report that sickle cell disease was a Southern and an African-American phenomenon. In 1970, the Black Panther Party likened the neglect of sickle cell disease to genocide. Shortly thereafter, JAMA publishes Healthcare Priority and Sickle Cell Disease by Roland Scott. And then a few years later, Richard Nixon signs the Sickle Cell Anemia Control Act into law. And so I think that you can get a richer history when you look further into Keith Wadlu's book, Dying in the City of Blues. This is, again, a very brief history. And there are a lot of things. I don't want to discredit the amount of advances that have occurred as a result of this law being signed into act. However, particularly as a result of 1972's act being put into law, what that meant was a small cadre of typically middle class and white professionals that had access to the grants and the grant money in terms of dictating the strategies of sickle cell anemia, and that still exists today. So when we're talking about a theoretic framework, I've based this underneath Kamara Jones' Levels of Racism. And she describes racism as a system of structuring opportunity and assigning value based on the social interpretation of how we look or race. And what this does, it unfairly disadvantages some individuals and communities, it unfairly advantages other individuals and communities, and it saps the strength of the whole society through the waste of human resources. And those of you who are familiar with Kamara Jones, this should look familiar to you. And it operates on three levels: institutionalized racism, personally mediated racism, and internalized racism. So for institutionalized racism, Kamara Jones coins this as inaction in the face of need. And it is typically normative, it's structured and sometimes legalized. And examples in sickle cell disease include gainful employment or lack thereof due to the cycle of the complications that exist with the disease and the fact that very often the patient population is not able to receive gainful employment. Appropriate medical facilities, very often there is a major lack in specialty care facilities for sickle cell disease, and they're relying on a primary care practice that typically does not know how to deal adequately with their disease. Differential access to information. This kind of shows itself in rural versus urban situations, and that urban areas often have more access to a general sickle cell center, whereas the more rural you are, the more you're not able to access specialized information about your disease. And resources, we'll look at this a little later in detail, but the financial resources, whether from the federal level or the private level, values questioning. And when it comes to a voice, the voice of individuals or organizations that represent these individuals, it's interesting to think about who tells the story, who's listening to the story, who has the power to do something about listening to the story. So for personally mediated racism, this can show itself in prejudice and discrimination, and it can be intentional and unintentional. For sickle cell disease, it manifests itself as a lack of respect, and that physicians' failure to communicate options. One of the treatment modalities for sickle cell disease is hydroxyurea, and a lot of patients don't know about this modality, either because physicians are not expressing and giving this information to patients, or because, and it could be a part of the medical diffusion part, they don't know themselves to know that it's an option themselves. Suspicion, non-belief of pain, this is a recurring theme in sickle cell disease population. The fact that patients are often not believed about the pain level that they're in and typically seen as drug-seeking when they interface the medical system. Devaluation, certainly there have been messages of communication about fatalism and the fact that you may not live past 13, you may not live past 30, you may not live past X, and these are messages that the sickle cell population as a whole takes with them. And then dehumanization, physicians, residents, staff typically deem sickle cell patients as subpar and tend to avoid the population in general. There are many providers who will say outright that they do not want to deal with the sickle cell population at all. So for internalized racism, this is acceptance by members of the stigmatized races of negative messages about their own abilities and intrinsic worth. And how it manifests itself in sickle cell disease includes non-communication of disorder to family and friends. Again, this level of stigma in which patients are ashamed to let people know that they have the disease. Belief that one does not deserve good care, so instead of really being empowered and fighting for the care that they deserve, they believe what's being told to them over and over again. They believe the fatalistic messages, which is the next bullet. And then there's just this general feeling of resignation, helplessness, and hopelessness within the patient population. So what is the result? Less than optimal productivity, higher healthcare costs for this population. We saw the $1.1 billion. Social inequity and other inequities. And just to go over briefly what inequity is, a system of structuring opportunity and assigning value based on, and we discussed this earlier, fill in the blank. It could be race, social class, geography, nationality, language, legal status. And again, just to pound it home, these bullets of that it unfairly disadvantages some, advantages others, and saps the strength of the whole society through the waste of human resources. So when talking about equity, if you are a part of the sickle cell world, you've seen this chart, I don't know, a million times, but you're not. So this may be the very first time that you've seen this. And this is actually based off of Roland Scott's original article that he produced in 1970. It was reproduced in 2006 by Lauren Smith. Sickle Cell Disease, A Question of Equity and Equality is the name of the article it comes from. And you see sickle cell disease and cystic fibrosis in two separate columns, and you can see the disparity. This was 2006, so sickle cell disease at the time was around 80,000. Again, we think it's about 100,000 now. Cystic fibrosis, in terms of prevalence, 30,000. When it comes to federal support in millions, quite disparate. When you go down to the private funding, when you go down and you see $152+ million to $500,000 for SCDAA, Sickle Cell Disease Association of America, we have to begin to ask questions. And there's almost, I think, an eightfold difference between cystic fibrosis and what they receive versus sickle cell disease. And I have a colleague that went a bit further and did just an NIH PubMed search to see cystic fibrosis had many X amount of articles and sickle cell disease had X amount of articles. And of course, the funding drives the research. And I don't have those numbers, but suffice it to say, sickle cell disease had much less than cystic fibrosis. So addressing the question of equity. The elimination of health disparities can be an outcome of health equity. How do we achieve health equity? Well, we value all individuals and populations equally. We recognize historical injustices, and we focus societal efforts to achieve optimal conditions for health for all. And for sickle cell disease in particular, we stop assigning race to the disease. I think we do a huge disservice to all the populations. It can affect all races and all ethnicities. And until we begin to market that message, we're doing a disservice to the entire disease. And I think we also need to begin to engage in conversation about ethics and distributive justice. So take-home points, you saw this in the first slide, and I wanted to reiterate it. Sickle cell disease is a biologically based disease that is not race-limited, yet associated with differential investment and treatment, which likely reveals racism as a root cause for disparity. Acknowledging and confronting racism will be necessary in order to remove the systematic racial biases that affect individuals with sickle cell disease, hopefully leading to less stigma within the population, less stigma with those who aren't only African-American or of African descent, but of all the race and the ethnicity that may be affected with sickle cell disease. It could lead to better health outcomes. Of course, this could lead to lowering that 1.1 billion number we saw, and hopefully a more empowered and optimistic patient population. So I'd like to thank Kamara Jones, who was unable to be here today, and as well as my team lead in the Surveillance and Epidemiology Branch and the Division of Blood Disorders, Althea Grant. Thank you.